A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm John McEnroe.
I'm Bjorn Borg.
This is Martina Navratilova.
I'm Mats Wilander.
I'm Stan Wawrinka.
I'm Leighton Hewitt.
I'm Andy Murray.
And you're listening to the Tennis Podcast.
Day two of the Davis Cup Final 2017. We've just heard the national anthems. We've just heard the two doubles teams announced onto court. And after all that speculation between David and me yesterday as to what changes there would be, we now know that it will be the originally announced teams of Joris Delors and Ruben Bellemans for Belgium and Richard Gasquet and Pierre-Hugues Herbert for France. It's hard to see any way that this doubles rubber won't be critical in the result of this Davis Cup final 2017. It could not be more exciting. The stage could not be more beautifully set for this doubles rubber. So away we go. Well, with less than half an hour on the clock, it is France that have taken the first set of this doubles rubber, 6-1. The choice of Pierre-Hugues Herbert and Richard Gasquet looking inspired by captain Yannick Noah at the moment. They were well drilled, they were positive, they were confident, they were absolute perfection in that opening set as the French band just passes behind me. Jubilant celebrations at the moment by all the French fans. Delors and Bellemans looking a little bit bewildered and overwhelmed out there at the moment. Johan van Hoek giving them a team talk at the moment. What do they have in the tank to try and turn this crucial doubles rubber around? Well, I said there needed to be some kind of extraordinary turnaround, and that's exactly what we have seen in this doubles match. The Belgians have clinched the second set, 6-3. My goodness me, what an inspirational speech it must have been from Johan van Hoek at the end of that first set, because the Belgians seemed completely lost and they now seem to have grown about 6 inches as a team over the course of the last set. Pierre-Hugues Herbert, for me, remains the best player on the court. The difference is that the Belgians are doing a sensational job of keeping the ball away from him. The atmosphere inside here is extraordinary. As a neutral, I'm just delighted that we get another two sets of this. Oh my goodness me, what a set of tennis. How rarely does the doubles rubber in any Davis Cup tie disappoint, but this one is like nothing I've ever seen before, certainly in person. The noise I've just experienced as France clinched that third set on the tiebreak, having trailed 5-3, that is the loudest noise I've heard over the weekend, and that really is saying something. There was a moment at 5-all when Richard Gasquet, who's looked tight as a drum for the last hour or so, the crowd here, they started chanting his name, and it lifted him, it lifted the French team. Here they are doing a slow hand clap. It is so incredible. The French now a set away from a crucial doubles rubber victory in this Davis Cup final.
Thank you.
Well, that is the sound of Richard Gasquet and Pierre-Hugues Hébert and, of course, Captain Yannick Noah receiving the warm, the raucous applause of the crowd inside this stadium in Lille, because the French doubles team have got that crucial doubles rubber on the board for France. They did it in four sets, 6-1, 3-6, 7-6, 6-4 over the heartbroken Belgians, and it does mean that they could clinch this Davis Cup title in the fourth rubber tomorrow with victory for Joe Wilfried Tsonga over David Goffin. The Belgians just exiting the stage, they played their part in a sensational, a thrilling match today, and the Belgians are applauding them accordingly. But today, it belongs to France.
Well, hello and welcome to the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport, from the Davis Cup by BNP Paribas final that you've just been hearing about. The doubles rubber has completed. Catherine, as you can hear, has been there throughout. She's been in amongst it, in with the crowd, feeling every single moment of it. And she's now, thankfully, in a quieter room. She can take the earplugs out and actually have a conversation with me, David Law, on the Tennis Podcast to review it all, to look ahead as well to the singles tomorrow. But Catherine, you're there, you've just witnessed this incredible doubles match, and it's gone in the end to France. They lead 2-1, but for a while there, it really did feel like it was on a knife edge.
Oh, goodness me, it was more than on a knife edge. It was very much in the hands of the Belgian team. Today was extraordinary. I mean, I know it's pretty rare that you ever feel that a Davis Cup doubles rubber is disappointing. I can't remember the last time I felt that, but to experience one that was as thrilling as today's in person, it was something quite special. Yannick Noah, incidentally, has just said that that's the best atmosphere, the most special atmosphere that he has ever experienced as a Davis Cup captain. So I'm in good company in feeling that it was something really, really special today. Interesting that it was quite a different atmosphere to yesterday. I know I was in different seats and less in the thick of the Belgian hoi polloi, but it did feel different. There were more families in the crowd. That didn't make it any less raucous. It just, I don't know, it just felt palpably different and so incredible. I'm going to use all sorts of completely insufficient verbs like incredible and amazing and mind-blowing, which just don't really do it justice, because today is going to take some getting over for those Belgian guys. I think they were a set all. They'd fought back so wonderfully after losing that first set 6-1. I mean, that they hadn't showed up in the first set. They had not shown up. 6-1, they were barely on the court. And then they turned it around completely. They served for a 2-1 lead at 5-4. And it all fell apart a little bit from there.
Did they choke, Catherine, or did they get it taken away from them, in your view?
Look, there are a couple of shots. There was one framed volley by, I think, Delure, which you could look at as a choke. You would probably say that under less pressureful circumstances, he would have made that. But I don't think it's as simple as saying that they choked. I mean, you could arguably say that after winning the first set 6-1 and looking pretty much perfect in that opening set, albeit with a lot of help from some Belgians who were looking pretty overwhelmed by the occasion, you could say that the French choked for a set and a half. After that, they completely fell away, particularly Richard Gasquet, who seemed to just tensen up. Tensen? I don't think that's a word. He seemed to just tense up completely. You know, it was almost like the Belgians were liberated by performing so badly in that opening set. It's like they said to themselves, or Van Herk said to them, the worst has happened now, guys. It cannot get any worse than what happened in that opening set. I mean, they were barely winning points. They were barely getting the ball in court. It was almost as if the worst had happened and it could only improve, so you might as well just swing freely and see what happens. And the opposite happened to the French. So No, I don't think it's as simple as saying any one team choked or didn't. I do think Yannick Noah, though, and the crowd in here were a difference maker today.
It's really something to hear you say in here, because it's suddenly silent, more or less, isn't it, inside that cavernous stadium. And I share your view. I mean, the noise in that place. And I think that the big element to me is doubles. The mid-Davis Cup tie doubles is, I describe it as peak tennis in many ways. And I almost forget what it is like until we come upon it again. And I thought this throughout Great Britain's run to the Davis Cup title a couple of years ago. Virtually every doubles rubber that I've experienced when I've got to the stadium, or even if I've just turned on the TV, there is another level that it goes to, even over the singles, and even over the singles on the third day. It's the standalone nature of it. Everybody's focus is on it. There's a feeling of it's more than just physical sport. It is the will of two teams going against each other, and I just love that Davis Cup doubles, and it always makes me think that doubles should be so much more than what it is because of what it achieves on that middle Saturday of a Davis Cup tie, and obviously that's increased in intensity on the final day. But yeah, that was really special today, and I don't know about you, but it still feels as though that is probably going to end up being the difference maker of this tie. I mean, just in terms of I heard you saying in your report, you mentioned Herbert being the standout player after a couple of sets. You were saying that. Did you feel that Yannick Noah kind of got away with this, or do you feel as though he was vindicated?
I definitely, exactly as I said, I felt like he was vindicated after set one. I think it's somewhere in the middle. I still think, incidentally, that Herbert and Mahut would have won today. I know it's not just about him having picked the best doubles team. I know it was about him giving himself singles options. So that potentially is a redundant argument. But he got away with it a little bit. There were a few errors from Bemelmans, and I do want to reiterate, I don't think it was as simple as the Belgians choking, but there were a couple of moments where he was let off the hook a little bit today, and Gasquet in particular was the one for me that was showing the signs of the strain of the occasion and the moment in the scoreboard the most. Pierre-Hugues Herbert was very, very impressive today. In the first set, I'd never seen him like that before. He was bringing all of the energy to the court. He was firing Gasquet up. I know Gasquet isn't the most demonstrative guy, so I guess naturally it would fall to whoever his partner is to be the energy on the court, but he really, really was. And, you know, as I said in the report, the Belgians figured out that we've just got to keep the ball away from this guy, and boy, did they do a good job of that. And but then by the third and fourth sets, there was so much else at play beyond tactics and everything else that it all got a bit much for the Belgians, and just a couple of errors here and there were costly. But just going back to what you're saying about the specialness of the doubles, for me, the doubles in a Davis Cup tie, and of course this applies more in a final, it's one of the wonders of the tennis world. There are a few of them. For I've only just come up with this concept, David, so I haven't. I've been trying to create a little list in my mind. Not that I wasn't paying 100% attention to what you were saying, but it's an Arthur Ashe night session match when there's an American playing. It's a Davis Cup doubles rubber. It's, what else did I think of? I thought of another one, David, but I can't quite. Do you know what I mean? The wonders of the tennis world, the jewels in the crown. And it's something that the Davis Cup has that no other part of tennis has. That way that it can make doubles, which actually is the game that the layperson, the club tennis player, most relates to, because, you know, for better or worse, doubles is the form of the sport that is played most at our humble level, and yet you have this huge irony of it never getting to take centre stage, of it not really getting the attention it deserves, despite the fact that it is so darn watchable and entertaining. And this is sort of the one moment that it takes on all the significance. I mean, today it was, I know that sort of the term must-win match, must-win game is bandied around so much, but it kind of felt like that for both teams. And to answer your original question, which you asked me about 8 minutes ago, I think on balance, yes, I do think that result today will prove decisive in this final.
Now, Catherine, you had chance to speak to somebody straight after that doubles rubber who really does know what it's like, not only to play in these sort of occasions and to lead the nation as well. Who is that?
Yeah, Mr. Guy Forget, of course, now the tournament director of the French Open. But for 14 years, he was Davis Cup captain, led France to victory in 2001 and was a winner himself under the captaincy of Yannick Noah twice in the 90s. So who better to speak to? Guy Piaouk and Richard, their backs were against the wall there and they pulled out something extraordinary for their country, didn't they?
Yes, because we knew how important that point was going to be. We had a really good start, you know, winning the first set quite easily. And then in the second set, things start to get a little bit more difficult. I mean, the Belgian players, you know, played better, and we had some rough moments where we missed some balls, and then they were ahead, and then they up a break in the third. There could have been two breaks up. And, you know, I mean, how Davis Cup is sometimes, some tension came in there, and Bebelman started to miss a few, and we were a bit stronger. And so we pull it through in the end. So I'm sure that doubles point will make a difference in the end.
It's obviously turned out for the best today. You have been in Yannick Noah's shoes. You were there for 14 years. Honestly, Guy, what was your reaction when Yannick named his team selection 2 days ago?
Well, as always, you know, it's really, I mean, a lot of us were, because Yannick had so many options and he took this one, and it's not probably the option that some of the other people would have taken, but you know, when you're a captain, you have so many more information that, you know, the general public and we don't have. So he made his own choices. And basically, the only thing you can judge, you know, a selection is on the fact that you win or lose. And on the court, you know, they won that match. So now with one more point to win. And I think the match between Tsonga and Gauffin tomorrow will bring sparkles.
You have been the man to win a Davis Cup title for France in the fourth rubber. You did it against Pete Sampras in 1991. Is Joe going to be the man to do it for France tomorrow?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, everything is set up for a great match. I'm sure Joe's going to be as pumped as he has ever been on this match. I mean, he's playing Gauffin, who's a great player right now, who's playing probably the best tennis of his career, and you have all the crowd behind him now. You know, this match is very open. I mean, to be honest, like a 50-50 chances of winning. And if Gauffin wins it, then I think we are looking, you know, probably a lot better in the fifth rubber. But, you know, if Joe can, you know, close it up, it'll be a lot more relaxing for all of us.
If it does go to a fifth, who would you expect to see out there on the court?
Well, I think whether it's Lucas or Richard, I think they both have a really good chance of beating either Darcy or another player. But, you know, once again, you know, I'm really looking forward for Joe to play a great match and hopefully to bring that fourth point.
And just finally, Guy, you won two Davis Cup titles under Yannick Noah. Everybody talks about what an inspirational captain man he is. Can you try and explain what it is about him that makes him so inspirational?
Well, you know, he brings all his passion towards the game, and he loves it so much, and he likes competition. I mean, he's such a great competitor. I mean, even now we're playing golf once in a while, and you know, I know how much he likes to win, and you know, basically his experience towards the team is great, and you know, it's tough to sometimes, you know, work with younger players who have different personalities, and you know, he I think he brings a lot to that team. Now, when you're a captain, you can only do as much as you can on the chair, and basically you need players to perform. And you know, when you win a tie, it's because your players have been good, and hopefully they will be good for another day.
Best of luck to you tomorrow, Guy.
Thank you so much. Thanks.
So Guy Forget, who better to speak about the inspirational figure of Yannick Noah? And there's no doubt, as I say, he was the difference maker today. There are some wonderful videos out there on social media and photos of him celebrating with all of the French fans. I mean, he is this... I mean, enigmatic doesn't even cover it. There's something about him. He has this mystique and this aura that he can sort of hypnotise people. There definitely is something that, some voodoo that he can perform on a crowd, on a player, on sort of whatever is before him, you know, on a press conference room full of journalists. You know, you just feel completely captivated by his presence. And look, Johan van Herk for Belgium, he did some voodoo with his own today to G his players up and get the performance out of them that he did after the first set. Is some impressive stuff. You know, I was thinking, you know, we could all do with a little bit of Johan van Herk in our lives after seeing what happened in the second and third set. So he deserves a lot of credit as well. But yeah, fascinating to get the thoughts of Guy Forget not being drawn too much on, you know, the decisions he would have been making in the same position, or certainly wasn't in any mood to criticise or make any kind of judgment about, you know, what Yannick Noah is doing and has done. As he points out, Noah is privy to information that he and we are not, so we have to go with what he thinks. But it's going to be very interesting if it does go down to a fifth rubber, which on paper it should do. On paper, it's going to be very interesting to see who takes to the court.
It will be very interesting.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, Tennis Podcast listeners. David here. Now, you might know that I love a bit of cooking, and I think I'm quite good at it. But if I'm honest, even I get fed up trying to work out what to do every night. That's where Home Chef comes in. Being able to put together a delicious meal without the long prep and the cook times, well, that's pretty cool. Home Chef provides fresh ingredients and chef-designed recipes conveniently delivered to your doorstep to simplify your cooking experience. They have over 30 options a week and serve a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. Not only is it convenient, but it's economical too. Home Chef customers save an average of $86 per month on groceries. Now, for a limited time, Home Chef is offering Tennis Podcast listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life and, of course, free shipping on your very first box. Go to homechef.com/tennis. That's homechef.com/tennis for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard it right. Yannick Noah, I think, has been into his press conference already, has he? Has he given anything away?
He has. He says he'll leave it to the very last minute, David, which is what he said he did today. I have to say, we were all pretty surprised to see the originally named doubles teams on both sides take to the court. I was particularly surprised not to see Songa. Obviously, that's a decision which has been 100% vindicated. Goffin, I thought, on balance, we'd probably see him, but because he's not got such a great doubles record or even any record to speak of at all, I thought perhaps that was a little bit less likely. But let's say it goes to a fifth. You didn't even ask me for a prediction here. I'm going to give you one. I think we might see Gasquet instead of Puy. Because of what happened, because of the contrast of what happened today and Gasquet finding a way to rise to the occasion. Look, it wasn't the case that every step along the way there were wobbles there for Gasquet. He was feeling it, but he found it in the end, and I think that could be the difference maker.
They will play the number one players against one another first tomorrow, Goffin against Songa. So it could end after the fourth rubber, couldn't it? Songa gets the win, that's it. They are Davis Cup champions for the first time in 16 years. Do you think it will go to a fifth?
David.
What do you think?
It's
a tough one, isn't it?
It really is a tough one. I certainly don't... I think Songa will bring it. I think he will produce. I think he will be a hero of sorts tomorrow. Whether he can beat Goffin in this kind of form, I don't know. I think he needs to be prepared to go long to make it a physical battle, because strength and fitness at the moment is something he has over Goffin. That left knee is still very heavily strapped for Goffin. That's still not a prediction quite, is it? That's not quite a prediction. I think it will go to a fifth rubber, yeah. I do think it'll go to a fifth rubber, and I think we'll see Gasquet against Darcy. And I don't think that will be play sailing by any means.
Wow, I mean, that is going to be tension personified if it happens. I kind of think I agree with you, because... And I think Goffin Songa could be an absolute classic. I think we could be looking at five sets for that. You and I are going to be speaking at midnight tomorrow, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it could be... Well, hang on a second. Having said that, though, I think if it goes five, Songa becomes the favourite. I think the longer it goes, the chances of a Goffin win diminish slightly. But yeah, I think maybe Goffin in four... Very, very hard-fought sets. Incidentally, just going back quickly to what Yannick Noah had to say in press, he admitted that his neck was completely on the line in that doubles match. He's admitted to feeling some relief. He used a French phrase which doesn't quite have a literal translation in English. He said, if they hadn't won, I would have been sure... It would have been chaud pour la gueule, which means hot for the mouth, which kind of, I think, means that would have been very, very tough to take. It kind of means my neck was on the line, is what he's saying. That's by no means a literal translation, but he admits that his neck was on the line, and he is breathing a sigh of relief this evening.
I can imagine. Now, Belgium... I mean, they've got a heck of a challenge on their hands now, Johan van Herk. I mean, as you said, he's an inspirational character himself, and he was kneeling down in front of his doubles team today before the first ball was hit. He was trying to inspire them so much, and I think he did an excellent job. But I think the good news for him is that he didn't play Goffin today, and therefore Goffin can come out tomorrow fresh, ready to go, without a bad experience behind him, an immediate bad experience, which playing the doubles and losing would have been for him. Any surprises from him, do we think? I mean, he's really got Darcy and Goffin to go with, hasn't he? But I guess you dial back in a way, don't you, to what's got you here?
Yeah, definitely. I don't think there's any, well, for me at least, I don't think there's any what might have been for Van Herk. I don't feel like necessarily the result today would have been different had Goffin played. I suppose that's a difficult call to make, because we don't really know much about Goffin as a doubles player. But I hope that he's not feeling any what might have been, because in the way that Noah probably would have been feeling had his team lost today, I don't foresee any. I think we'll see Goffin, and if necessary for fifth rubber, we'll see Darcy tomorrow. I can't see. I mean, Deleuze certainly won't be playing in singles, and if you've got Mr. Davis Cup, a guy that's persistently performed above his ranking in fifth rubbers, in, you know, fifth sets of fifth rubbers frequently, you go with Mr. Davis Cup, don't you? You don't go with all due respect, Ruben Benwens.
And I remember when Britain were waiting to find out who they played in the Davis Cup final, when we were in Glasgow, Great Britain had just beaten Australia to get through to the final, and we were watching on that screen. Do you remember in the press room when Steve Darcy was facing Argentina, wasn't it, in the fifth and deciding rubber? And eventually Darcy got the win, and he collapsed to the ground, and he just got mobbed.
Which Argentinian was that? Was it Pella? Was it Mayer?
I think it might have been Del Bonis.
Del Bonis.
And I just recall the aftermath of that tie and the way he'd stood up and delivered. And I would have thought Darcy, of all the players left, really, and he had a pretty miserable day one. Songa handled him straightforwardly. But fifth rubber, I think Darcy, especially if Goffin has just levelled it all, he's going to be a formidable opponent.
Darcy will be thinking,
I'd expect him to play above himself.
Darcy will be thinking, we've got these Frenchmen right where we want them.
and I mean, you know, Richard Gasquet, as fabulous a player as he is, he is not somebody who I would be completely convinced is going to get the job done. Now, this could end up being a defining moment for him in his career, that maybe even ends up producing some late sort of career spurt of inspiration. But I don't trust him at this point, until proven otherwise. So we'll see.
I agree. Remains to be seen. He's unproven in that sort of occasion. In fact, he's almost the opposite. You know, he's proven himself not to be up to that sort of pressureful task in the past. But today will help him, for sure. Okay, he had immense help from Yannick Noah and Pierre-Hugo Bert today, but he did raise his level in the end. Okay, might have been let off the hook a couple of times to be given the opportunity to raise his level, but he did. And that will help come crunch situations. But hey, he's likely to be facing Mr. Davis Cup. I love that. Imagine being called Mr. Davis Cup.
I know. I want to have a name like that.
I know. You could be
Mr. Tennis Podcast.
You could be Mr. Podcast, David. I've thought of another wonder of the tennis world, by the way. I feel like I need to think of more if this concept is going to, you know, become a thing, if it's going to take off. The defending champion opening up play on that first day of Wimbledon, the defending champion walking first onto centre court. That's a sort of special and unique thing, isn't it? That's my next one. So I've got three. If we're going to do seven, I've got four more. Send in your submissions to @tennispodcast.
Yes, Catherine's getting the listeners involved. She's going to be starting her own pole vault next. Fantastic. So you got back to your hotel last night and the restaurant was closed, Catherine. So you didn't have a cheese board.
You should have seen the strop that I threw. It started progressively raining harder and harder and harder throughout my 20-minute walk back to the hotel. I arrived a bedraggled wreck. But
I didn't see that picture on social media.
You didn't see that picture on social media, but the whole way I was thinking, it's fine. With every step, I am bringing myself closer to cheeseboard heaven. And then I arrive through the door to discover that, inexplicably, what sort of a restaurant? I mean, what sort of a restaurant, David, it doesn't open on a Friday night? I couldn't believe my eyes. Anyway, ended up on the internet, ordering a semi-edible pizza from an establishment that called itself Speed Rabbit. So, yeah, a memorable night.
Fantastic. My calling ahead and suggesting that they take the night off just for kicks seemed to work. So I've told them they can serve you tonight because you've done such a splendid job.
Thanks very much.
On behalf of the Tennis Podcast. So you go and have your dinner and we will reconvene again tomorrow because we have a big old day in store. The final day of the Davis Cup final. Belgium has never won it before. They've never won the Davis Cup by BNP Paribas before. They could do tomorrow. France haven't won it in 16 years. They could do tomorrow. They're 2-1 up. It could go all the way. It's going to be Goffin against Songa, first of all. Might end after four. Might go down to a deciding fifth rubber. Mr. Davis Cup, Steve Darcy. He can't wait. He's sitting there. He's like a coiled spring waiting to get into the action in a fifth rubber to try to get some glory for Belgium. You can follow it all on the BBC Sport website. The BBC Sport app have got live streaming. The ITF website have got live streaming as well, as has the Davis Cup website. They've got a live blog going on as well. There's loads of different ways you can follow it. And, of course, you can come back and listen to us after the Davis Cup final has completed. When we know who the winners are, Catherine and I will be back together to bring all the news to you. This has been the Tennis Podcast, brought to you in association with The Telegraph and with Eurosport. We can't wait for some more of this. We'll see you tomorrow.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.